I've always thought if you don't like worship, you're not going to like heaven. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know what the other option is. Well, I know what it is, but you don't want to do that either. So I guess you're just going to have to get into worship. And we're going to look at that a little today. Just want to mention we're starting our 21 days of prayer with Church of the Highlands for those listening in today. And I pinned the link to the top of the Facebook page. It starts today, really. But Monday through Friday, the prayer time is from 6 to 7. And on Saturdays, 9 to 10. And then they have replays during the day for those who those times don't work. But I encourage you to try that if you're listening in. And awesome time of prayer. They have some worship and some a little small teaching. So you don't have to pray for a whole hour technically praying, you know, if that's scaring some of you. But I encourage you to tune into that. Okay, my message today, I want to tie into that a little bit, trying to give us a little kickstart or kick in the pants, however you want to look at it. You know, talking about spirit and truth. Spirit and truth. You know, as we do this, we hope you take advantage of the opportunity of this prayer time. There's times in our life when I think that we feel closer to God than other times. At least that is how it is for me. You know, I wish it was fire all the time, but I suppose if it was, I'd be all burned up by now. But, you know, I couldn't handle it all the time probably. But anyway, there's times that it's really good, and sometimes it's just regular life, you know. But, you know, we want to put ourselves in a position to receive because, you know, when times of change come by seasons of visitation, and I believe this 21 days is going to be a season of visitation for us, you know, where we tap into to God's presence and start to experience the things that He has for us. You know, as we place ourselves in a position to receive, you know, together, I want us to expect the supernatural to start to take place in our life. And, you know, the idea that, you know, the spirit world is as real as our world. And we forget that. We live by our senses for the most of the time, but God wants us to live by faith. And, you know, there is a spirit world all around us. And, you know, how we tap into that, you know, it's hard because we just can't see it. So there's things that we have to do to get there. And sometimes, you know, we need to understand we need to walk in balance, you know, meaning that, you know, we're in this world, not of it. Like Jesus said, you know, He was, you know, not of this world, His teachings and things like that. He was, you know, the Son of God. But what I think you and I learn is that prayer is a bridge. You know, a bridge is important, especially if you need to get to the other side, right? And we know Jesus is the bridge we go to the Father. But also, prayer is a time that, you know, we can really get connected and closer to God. And prayer changes the world because prayer changes me and I'm in the world, right? And the same with you. So we need to learn to tap into that. So passage I want to look at today is John chapter 4, verse 22 to 24. My wife was sharing this with some of the kids on Wednesday night. That's their teaching. And it kind of, I was going to teach on legacy. I'm still going to do it this year. I've had it prepared for about a year or so now. Just haven't got a time to pull the trigger. So I'm going to talk about this for a week or two and then we'll see where we go. John 4, 22 to 24, it says, Jesus is talking to the Samaritan woman, just to set this up a little bit. He says, "You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know. For salvation is from the Jews. But an hour is coming and now is when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people the Father seeks to be His worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth." Let's pray. Father God, we thank You for the unction of the Holy Spirit to be here today. We thank You for all the great and mighty things that You've given to each of us in our life, Lord. And Lord, the greatest thing that we have to tap in to be able to understand the things of God is the Bible. And Lord, we thank You for Your word today. We thank You for the transforming power that it is. That, Lord, we know that Your word will not return void. Lord, I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips. And as I yield to the gift, Lord, just stir it up. And we give You praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, a couple things before we jump into this. You know, Jesus was telling this woman, you know, as He's speaking to her. And He said to her that, you know, salvation is from the Jews. That's a key word for you and me. Because it's not just for the Jews. What it meant by salvation is from the Jews. It's from the Jews because Jesus Christ was of the Jewish lineage. And that opened the door, you know, when He came for also the Gentiles to come in because that he made it possible for everybody. So we need to keep that in our mind. And also the idea that God is a spirit. Okay? And the Bible says, you know, God is a spirit, and that, you know, to me, worship is a spiritual thing, and prayer is part of worship, singing's part of worship, you know, giving's part of worship. All these different parts of our life, these facets of our life, you know, we worship God and are serving, all these things. So God is a spirit, and we need to remember that, you know, we're a three-part being. Went over this time and time again, but I think we need to still get it deeper in our hearts. You know, we're a spirit, we have a soul, we live in a body. When you're born again, your spirit is recreated. We're going to look at that a little bit. And it's regenerated. And we were made in God's image, and God is a spirit. Now, our soul is our mind, our will, our intellect, and our emotions. All these things that kind of make up our personality to some degree. And if we, you know, want to look at it, you have your natural personality. And I don't want to go into this too much because I plan on maybe trying to cover this again this year. In Romans chapter 12 or 7, it's out of my mind right now. But anyway, it's Romans 12, 7. Maybe that's where I'm getting it mixed up. But anyway, it talks about the gifts of the Father, the motivational gifts, gifts at how God made you, and you're wired a certain way from God. Now, we're wired a certain way from God, but also we live in a world that tries to unwire what God has done for us. Amen? Or oh my. I guess oh my would be better than amen, right, on that one? Because we don't want to allow the world to come in and change us. So these are things, you know, if we kind of mesh these things together, we start to understand, you know, a little more about the things of God. Now, first point I want to look at is talking about the word spirit and truth. How important it is to understand how we do that and what God is looking for. You know, God told us exactly what he's looking for. You know, how we approach him. And Jesus, you know, he had been preaching the Gospels, and now he was in Samaria. And Samaria was a place, it was where the northern tribes went, okay? If you think back Old Testament, you know, you had the 12 tribes of Israel. And Judah, and I think Ephraim, and some of those, they stayed in Jerusalem area, but also the other tribes, the northern tribes, they went across the river or stayed there. And see, so when the enemies came in, they attacked them first. And, you know, they started to intermingle with other races and other things like this. And it really come apart right after Solomon died, because the tribes were split, okay? Now, what these people did is that it's kind of like if we would rebel against Washington, D.C., you know, not saying we're supposed to do that. I'm just saying just in case it happened. But, you know, let's say we're supposed to go to D.C. to worship God, you know, every time. But now that we've went away from them, we can't go there no more. So what they did is they built their own temple, okay? They did it with a good intention in the beginning, but it really went wrong. And what they did is they started to worship God, but they didn't stay true to God, you know, how they were supposed to. And they started to do it their way instead of Yahweh's way. And see, that's what happens sometimes in life, is the fact that we get pulled away from God and then we start to do things our way. And it really got in trouble. And Jesus came here, and he was talking, and his disciples went out, and they were maybe gathering food and getting stuff ready, and Jesus ran across this woman. She was at the well, but she's there all by herself. And the reason that was is because all the other women wouldn't associate with her, because she had been married several times, and the man that she was living with now was not her husband. So let's just say she had a lifestyle that probably, you know, most people would maybe shun. But Jesus took time and talked to her a little bit. Now, the biggest mistake she made was wanting to talk religion with God. You know what I'm saying? You know, here she thought, well, you know, we're this, you know. And Jesus said, oh, no, honey. You got it all wrong. You're doing it wrong. I mean, wouldn't that be a bummer? To live your life thinking you're doing it right and then to find out you're doing it all wrong. I mean, that's why we need to stay true and understand just what Jesus is all about. And, you know, it would be a bummer because going through a bunch of religious mumbo jumbo and then in the end find out it means nothing, and it means nothing especially to God. And I'm afraid that's where a lot of people are. in their walk with God. And many churches who have went away from the things of God and the things of the Spirit and have been so entrenched with their religion, they're going through a bunch of religious mumbo jumbo and doing all these different things, and it's not really pleasing to God. And see, this Samaritan woman, that's where they were at. She was sticking up for her, the way that they did it, and they were doing it all wrong. And to be honest, you know, some of you have heard my testimony a little bit, but, you know, that was what I was like in the beginning when I was a young boy to some degree. You know, I was disillusioned with church. You know, things that happened in our local church. And so I'll be honest, I just decided to do it my way. I remember having conversations a time or two with people, and, you know, they'd say, "Why don't you go to church?" Well, I said, "I just do it my way." But my way is wrong. And I know that. See, there was a time in my life that I believed in God, but I still would have been considered an unbeliever by God. And that's a sobering fact. When I found that out in my life, that the things that I was doing was not God's way, and to try to follow Him, excuse me. Now, and what the really kind of sealed the deal for me, the Christians that I hung around with, I mean, their lifestyle wasn't any different than mine, other than they went to church. And, you know, so that just reinforced my own thinking. So that's why it's important that you and I understand the idea of what, you know, living a Christian lifestyle is all about. Because it does, and people are looking. I was watching. I know people are watching us. And the importance that we have to follow God, you know, His way. Now, as we look at truth here, you know, God wants us to understand and experience true worship. Now, where the Samaritan woman was, and the Samaritans in general, you know, they couldn't comprehend. They were doing blind worship. You know, and a lot of people talk about blind faith. You know, you just have to have blind faith. I says, well, there is no, blind faith doesn't work. Faith has to be based on the Word of God. You have to have something to stand on. You have to have some foundation, something where you can put your feet. And see, that's why we stress the importance of the Word of God. Now, what we like to talk about is the dynamic duo. No, not Batman and Robin. Some of you are Batman and Robin. I was always a Superman guy myself. Hey, Superman could fly, right? You know, to me, that was better. I always wanted to do that. But anyway, maybe someday. But the combination that you and I get when we put God's Word with God's Spirit, now that's where you really get somewhere. That's a powerful combination. And we need them both, because what happens is if you just get the Spirit, meaning you just, you know, you're not teachable, you're not accountable, you just want to, you know, maybe say prayer, or God told me this, or God told me that, but if you look at it, it doesn't line up with the Word of God. I remember a guy, you know, one time said, "Well, God told me to leave my wife." I said, "That wasn't God, buddy. You know, that was your flesh." Because God would not say that. That's not what He wants. But, you know, he's a person of prayer, if you know what I'm saying. And, you know, he was just got tapped into the wrong thing. So you need the Word of God to keep you where you need to be. But then you need the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, pushing you. And to be the power that's behind your prayers. And if we can get both of those working in tandem, then we can start to walk in a different dimension of where God wants us to be. Because the Spirit without the Word, you get weird. And the Word without the Spirit can get dry and legalistic. Now, as a believer, we should want to see that the supernatural should be natural to us, okay? The supernatural should be natural to us. We should start to walk in a level of authority here on this earth based on God's Word and empowered by God's Spirit, where we're starting to see things change. Amen? You know, I know we're not going to see that all the time, but that potential is there. If we're willing to pay the price and to pray the price, okay? There is a price to this, to get in. You know, Jesus says, you know, when they couldn't cast out a demon, He said, this don't come but by prayer, and some translations say prayer and fasting. You know, fasting is important, you know, if we want to, you know, maybe break down our flesh, and we're going to go into that maybe some other time, because I'm kind of hungry now. Are you guys? I don't know. I didn't have very good breakfast. But anyway, so, truth will keep us on track, like I said, and the Spirit gives us power. Now, take this And really, I really mean this one. Our goal is to be spiritual and not be weird about it. Okay? Have you ever ran into weird people? Weird Christians. I mean, they make you nervous. You know? I mean, they're just kind of spooky. I mean, they're just, I don't know, just oddballs. They're trying to be so spiritual that they cannot connect in a conversation with anybody. You know, they can't be a good witness because nobody knows what on earth are you talking about. You know, so our goal is to grow spiritually. Jesus wasn't weird. I mean, Jesus could talk to loose women. He could talk to tax collectors. He could talk to anybody and be able to get the gospel in there and made it so they could understand it. Yeah. See, that's what we need to be. We need to be people that can carry on a conversation with other people, a natural conversation, and make it spiritual because it's empowered by the Spirit, and to be able to see their lives change. Amen? Amen. That is possible. That's what we need. Now, the next passage I want to look to is found in Romans chapter 2, or 8, verse 2, Romans 8, verse 2. And we're going to be looking at the idea of the law of the Spirit of life. I mean, this is a powerful passage. It says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death." See, it's all about freedom, getting free, not being bound up. Just like, you know, Lazarus come out of that grave or that cave and, you know, he's all still bound up with the rags. You don't have to get that religion off of you. You know, get free. And see, the only way that happens is by the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Okay? I've heard this explained a long time ago that the Spirit of life, it helps to rise you up. It's kind of like an airplane. I don't understand how an airplane flies. Have you ever seen them big jets? It just doesn't make any sense just how them things get off the ground and they stay there. So that big plane, and somehow it's because, I don't even want to try to explain it because I know I just threw this in. This wasn't part of my message. But anyway, that plane gets to going and somehow the law of lift overcomes gravity, okay? And see, that's what the Spirit of life does in us. It helps us overcome the law of sin and death here on this earth. This life that we live right now, the law of sin and death, you know, we can overcome that because of the life of Jesus Christ. And just as that plane, I think the air gets lighter above. I might be messing this up, so please don't correct me on, you know, later. But do it in private, you know. That's how the Bible says to do it. But somehow it gets lighter and the plane just goes up. Praise God for that. If you ever rode in a plane, I thank God for the law of lift. Amen? You know, and the law of lift keeps you up there, at least till you got to land. You know, but so we need to see that. And where that comes from is my next point is the regenerated life. The regenerated life and how important it is to understand what the regenerated life is. Now, Adam, as we know in the beginning, he degenerated us, right? When he sinned, you know, we died spiritually and became spiritually dead. And, you know, I try to share this quite a bit because, you know, people don't understand what it means to be dead, spiritually dead. You know, it doesn't mean you cease to exist or, you know, something like that. It just means that you died spiritually to God, and that's where we were. And that's where all the religious people are, too. They're not alive yet because you have to be regenerated, you know, by the Holy Spirit. You know, to be born again. Now, as we're a sinner, that's why we had to be born again. That's why we had to have this new life. And to me, it's a life or death decision and this life or death way of living. See, when you're born again, you don't get changed in your soul. You're spiritually born again. But I will say this, it does have an effect on your soul. Hypothetically, you should start to live a little bit differently than you did before, okay? When you're born again. That means something's changed. Because I tried religion myself. I mean, what I did by religion is I did it my way, and then I got opened up, and I wanted to, well, I'm going to start going to church. I'm going to die quick if I don't get something changed. And what I thought was, you know, I finally come to the conclusion, if God's real and the Bible's true, then that's what I ought to do. So I went and bought a Bible, and then I found a church that happened to be about 5 or 6 blocks away from where I was living, and happened to be the church that had a Bible school where I went and went to Bible school, and then was, you know, went out in the ministry room there. It's just a God-ordained deal. I mean, I couldn't have planned it better myself, and I'm glad I didn't plan it. I'd have messed it up. But see, the idea of I went there a while believing, but I was still an unbeliever because I had not surrendered. I had not given my life to Christ. You know, a lot of times people come to church because they want to get better. But I think we need to tell people you can't get better. You got to get new. Only when you get new can you start to get better. Because it's the old story of old wineskins. If you put new wine in old wineskins, they burst. That's why Jesus said you had to be born again. And you get that new life. And then you start to tap in to the things of God. And, you know, you just have to seek after. I remember when I gave my life to Jesus, it was life-changing. When I quit fighting and I quit striving and I quit doing everything my way, and I said, God, I want to do it Yahweh, your way, amen. Nobody gets my joke when I do that. I've done it for years now, man. Yahweh is the name of God. Yahweh, your way, get it? Okay, never mind. We'll come back to that. I'll do some searching, some soul searching on that and see what it is. But this, you know, the idea of what it means to have that spirit of life, you know, coming into us and starting to work with him. So we need to be walking in the spirit. And to me, prayer really helps that. I know when my prayer life suffers, I suffer spiritually. That's what I found out. I don't know how it works for you, but and when I do my prayer life, worship has to be a part of that a little bit. You know, I fortunately bought a tool, and I could get this free gift, which I took a big boom box that's Bluetooth, and I leave it right by my office chair, and so it hooks to my computer, and I put worship music on. You can hear it almost all over the house, yeah. I have to turn it down in the morning when I want to do it that way. You know, my wife's, you know, she's over on the other side, and she can hear it, you know. But I just love good, rich music to worship with. Maybe it's because I sing so bad. I turn it up, baby. How about you? You know what I'm saying? If you don't think you sing good, just turn it up, you know, and, you know, just flow with it. See, we all suffer from a condition called spiritual insensitivity. We're insensitive to the Spirit. You know, the Bible tells us don't grieve the Holy Spirit, okay? So we're insensitive to the Spirit, but only when you become born again, then your spirit becomes like a candle to the Lord, and then you start to tap in, you know, to them things, to the things that God has. But even when you're born again, sometimes our mind gets in the way. And see, what the problem is that we're experiencing in our country is that ever since the church started to get into the entertainment industry instead of the discipleship ministry, the church has lost its way. You know, we try to get as many people in the seats as possible, and I know there's room for more here. But the idea we don't want to just entertain and tickle the ears and tell people what they need to hear. But to me, Christianity is about getting closer to God. And when you get closer to God, the things of the world start to fade away. Amen. And you got to get rid of those things. Yeah. And you think, oh, I could never get rid of that. But it's so easy. Because the closer you get to God, it just brings that freedom. And so the church today makes the mistake of how can I keep your attention instead of how can I change your life? That's why to me, my main focus here is we need the Spirit and truth. You know, I love to preach the gospel, but I tell you what, if the Holy Spirit wasn't here confirming and convicting and setting us free, it would just be another church, another religious group. And we don't want that. So what I found is like when we pray, it enhances our spiritual sensitivity. And you don't have to pray. I know we're going to pray this hour with Church of the Highlands, but don't let time freak you out. You know, just what I do, I take my cell phone in there. And, you know, if you have has anybody ever fallen asleep praying before? You know, I think we all have, right? You know, I'm just saying, you know, smartphones are for dumb people like us, right? Or, you know, you can just set an alarm. If you know you have to be up and ready, going to work at a certain time, hey, don't throw caution to the wind. You know what I'm saying? You know, just set a little timer or an alarm on your phone. And when I go in there, I always have pencil, paper, something I can write on, because if God speaks to me, you know, then I can write it down. I found out that I forget things every now and then. Have you ever? You know, especially things that God's told me. You think, oh, well, God will bring it back. Yeah, he might, but man, I just wish I had it now, some of that stuff he told me. So I write that down. Also, what I do with the pencil and paper. How many's ever thought of things you should be doing instead of praying? Well, I got to do this, I got to do that. So I found out a little trick is that when you take it out of your mind and put it on a piece of paper, you don't have to think about it anymore. You know what I mean? Well, I'm going to do that later. That's on my list of things to do, so now I don't have to worry about it. See, that's just the little tricks you can do. So you can just focus on God while you're praying, and that's the most important thing, which means me to the idea that prayer is a spiritual thing. You know, prayer is very spiritual. It's a prayer life is a spirit life. And prayer changes our perspective because it changes our perception, okay? When it changes the way we look at things, it'll change the way that we interact with the world around us. You know that annoying person that's either at work or somewhere around you, or maybe living in the same house? I mean, we'll just go there. You know what I'm saying? Prayer can change you in a way that you can be able to deal with these situations on a more spiritual plane. You know what I'm saying? That's important, you know, especially as a Christian. You know, see, when we start looking to God, it changes the way that we look at the world around us. You know, maybe you're a glass half empty kind of person all the time. You could have a tendency to go negative. You know, that's your default position. And you don't want that. Well, prayer will help you turn that around. As you get full of God, you get full of hope. Hope is important, people. We all have things we need to hope for. You know, we need to, you know, be in a place where we're expecting God to do some things. See, there's a difference between looking at God and looking to God. You know, we all know to look at God, but do we look to God for the answer? Do we look to God for help? You know, some of you are very talented people. I've watched you in action, and you can accomplish great things, but you can only go so far. See, when we just look at God versus are we looking to God for our strength, for that grace that we need to get us to the next level. Because I guarantee only God and God's grace can get us to the next level spiritually where we need to be. Learning to tap in and flow, because if not, we're in the works righteousness and we'll burn out. We just won't make it. Been there, did that, bought the t-shirt, burned the t-shirt. You know what I mean? Because we can only go so far unless we have God. So, a prayer life gives us that strong connection that we need because our wires can get crossed from time to time. Now, I've traveled in a lot of different countries in the past, and, you know, communication can be difficult if you don't know the language, right? And it's kind of silly of us Americans. We go to other countries and we think everybody ought to speak English. You know what I mean? That's kind of egocentrical, isn't it? A little bit. We think they ought to convert to us. But, you know, a lot of times, you know, but if you can't understand what they're talking about, you can't really communicate. I mean, you can guess. And to me, we need to learn the language of prayer. And the language of prayer is speaking from the heart. Just get real with God. Speak from your heart. If you thought it, God knows it. Right? We know that. If you have a thought, God knows that thought. But God still wants us to speak that thought out. You know, He wants us to talk to Him, to be able to communicate with Him. And we need to release that unto Him. So as prayer gives us a position to receive from God, because it gives us spiritual strength, a prayer life. And I speak from example. I've been saved a long time, and I've went through, you know, some high times and some low times and just some times, you know what I'm saying? But I found out He's the God of the valley and He's the God of the mountain. You know what I mean? You know, and I do know it's important that if we start to get a little dry or if we start to feel like we're disconnected, is to run to the Father. You know what I'm saying? Because nothing else, amen, nothing else can satisfy us. And we get back to that place, you know, where we can put ourselves in that position, because this is something. A lot of people think prayer is a waste of time. And to me, waiting on God is not a waste of time, but in reality, it puts us ahead of the game. I don't understand how it works, but prayer will put you at a place ahead. I mean, a lot of people, they say, I don't have time to pray. I mean, but that's the time you should pray. Because prayer, for whatever reason, you may think you're too busy, but prayer will put you in a place of peace where that busyness will not preoccupy your mind. Because really, when you're all fretting and worrying, you're not at your best, are you? You know, you're stressing and striving, and you think you're getting stuff done, but you're not. But from a position of peace is a position of power. And I found out that we are strongest when we're on our knees. So we hope you all participate with this 21 days of prayer and just see where that takes you for this year. It's a great way to start off the year. Also, I encourage you to read through the Bible in a year. I know you're a little, if you haven't started yet, you're a few days behind, 9 so far today. But, you know, just do these things and just see where God takes you. You know, there's more. There's more.
Amen.
You know, and we want it. Amen? Let's pray.